be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Well, good morning. Glad you are here today. I've got a... where did I put that note? Okay. I had a note here that I needed to read to you. I saw her sitting there, so I better read it. It's a thank you note, thank you card from Laura Smith. She's sitting right over here. And she says, I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to the youth group and all who helped me with her move. Your kindness, generosity, and willingness to lend a hand meant so much to me during this transition. I'm truly grateful to be part of such a loving and supportive church family. And we are truly grateful to have you as part of our church family. Folks, that's why we're here. We are part of the church family. And I want you to realize up front that we have a tendency not to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. Mainly because the Holy Spirit has been perverted a lot in what the Holy Spirit does. And so we typically don't speak a lot about it. However, I want you to know something. That when we are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we receive that gift from God. The Holy Spirit. He guides us. He helps us along the way. He intercedes for us in our prayers so that every prayer that we give is 100% perfect to God. Now, we cannot give a perfect prayer, but the Holy Spirit does. And He intercedes for us so that we give that perfect prayer to God each and every time. That's why I don't ever think, by any stretch of the imagination, that you don't know how to pray well. That you can't get up here and pray because it's one of those things, I just don't pray well. You know what? When you pray to God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, that prayer is perfect in every way, shape, and form. Folks, the Holy Spirit helps us along the way. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, more than anything in the world, is the Holy Spirit also gives you gifts. And that gift is to be used for the good of all. For the good of the family. For the good of people that are not part of the family, who are outside of the family. The Holy Spirit is there and has given you a gift. And He may not have just given you one. He may have given you many that you can use for the common good of the family. Now, I want to thank the elders for allowing me to have time off. Because, as Randy said, sometimes I get tired. And doing two services on Wednesday nights sometimes makes you a little tired. But I want you to know, those of you who are coming at 4 o'clock, that when midweek manna starts back up again, we're going to do it again. Because it was a great, great, great success. And so we're going to do that again when Midweek Manna shows back up. And also when the fall comes and it starts getting darker earlier, we're going to make sure that you can get home before it gets dark. That's for us. That's for all of us together. But up until then, be here at 6:30. Don't be late, and don't be absent. Be here, 6:30. We have a great class on Wednesday nights. We have a great class on Sunday nights. We're studying the book of Daniel. And we have a great class on Tuesday nights, every other Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. We have great classes that are there to help you to grow as a Christian. That's why we do them. We get in depth and we talk about those classes. We talk about those things. And they're important for you to be a part of that, if at all possible. Now, one of the things is that when we miss or when we are out of town, the elders have given me time off to go and rejuvenate myself. A lot of times we go to other congregations. We listen to other preachers. We hear what they're doing. We see what they're doing, the things that they're doing that are good, and the things that they're doing that are not so good that we don't need to be doing. And one of the things is that Kathy and I went to a church in Cabot, Arkansas. Now, a lot of you don't even know where that is. It's a couple of stones throw away from Little Rock and about a stone's throw away from Searcy. That's about where it is. It's not far from Little Rock. But we went to this congregation that was a very, very large congregation. So large that they had to have two services. And I'm going to tell you something real fast. We don't ever need to do that. If we get that many people here in this congregation that we need more seats, then doggone it, we need to knock these walls out and add more seats. Because we need to come together as a family. And so what happens is when you have two services like that, people lose track of those who are in the other service. And they don't even recognize when you come in and they don't recognize you. They think, well, you must have gone to the other service, but you typically go to the other service, but you're here today because you have somewhere to go. No, that doesn't work well. Because you lose track of each other. You lose track of each other. And we can't do that. Now, this congregation was a big congregation in which they did lots and lots of things. And one of the things that I thought that they did really, really well was that they had tables set up. When you walk in the door, they had tables set up of all the different missions that they had going on. Now, we've got some sheets out there and stuff, but that's something that we may want to look into doing. To tell people about all the things that we have available that are right here that you can be a part of. I'm looking at the elders here. Might be something we need to look at. Because I was impressed by that. And the fact that at each table was an individual there who was promoting that mission field. That's a good thing, y'all. That's something we need to do, I think. To promote what we have. Now, they had a little children's worship like what we do, except they didn't promote their children. They need to promote their children. They didn't do that. We need to keep doing what we're doing. To promote our children, to let people know the things that we are doing with our children here in this congregation. We need to keep doing that. Because that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because these that are up here right here that stand about this tall, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be leaders in this congregation before long. They're going to be the ones that are the elders and the deacons, the teachers, those who serve others. They're going to be the ones that do that. And so therefore, we need to make sure that they are promoted so that everybody knows what we are doing. I asked Paul as he was going out the door, I said, will you teach me that song? And Kathy looked at me and she said, I can teach it to you. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to learn what is happening with our young people. And we need to promote it. We need to hold it up. We need to keep going. Now, one of the things that we saw there, that Kathy and I saw there in this congregation, and at that congregation at that time that we attended, there were probably 160, 170 people in the auditorium at that time. 160, 170, something like that. And when we walked in the door of the building, there was a table that was set up that had the little gift bags like we do. But the problem was, there was nobody at that table. And all they did was they had a sign that said, if you're visiting, pick up a gift bag. Well, Kathy and I didn't pick one up. But the problem that they ran into, the problem that that congregation has, and this is a problem, is that we had three people talk to us. And we walked right by the minister, and he smiled at me, but didn't speak. Now, when you walk past me, I try to smile at you. But I also try to speak. I am so glad that you're here. You don't know how glad I am that you're here. You don't realize how much you lift me up every time you come into this building. And I am so grateful for each and every one of you. And I don't say it enough, how much I appreciate all of you for being here. All of you. Today we're going to celebrate Bill's 100th birthday. And I want y'all to know, as I've told you before, he is the oldest individual that I ever baptized. He was 97 when I baptized him. 97. And it's so wonderful to see people like Bill, to see people like you who have come to know God's Word and are striving to know it better each and every day. And that's why I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it multiple times again, that this congregation I love absolutely, because you are, the best congregation I have seen in accepting people, welcoming people, and encouraging people to come again. Folks, that doesn't ever need to stop. We need to keep on doing that. We need to expect, excuse me. I don't even know where that came from. We need to expand that. Make it better. Reach out to more people. Folks, we're coming up on our third year anniversary of being here. We've had 139 baptisms in this 3-year period. You know why? Because of y'all. Y'all are the ones who are inviting people to come. Y'all are the ones that are bringing them in. Y'all are the ones that are welcoming them and asking them to be back with us. And realize also that y'all are the ones that are our family. Don't ever forget that. You are our family. And when you hurt, we hurt. When you rejoice, we rejoice. We've got several people here today been a hearer because of your prayers. That's why I'm not here. They've gotten better. Why? Because we prayed for them. Folks, we need to reach out. Not only to our family members, but to those in the world out there, and to reach up to God for help. Seeking always to do His will. Seeking always to be His servant. Finding our path. What God expects for us to do. What is it within ourselves that the Holy Spirit has given us that we can do to better promote God's Word? Now, I want to look, to start, at how the Bible pictured worshipers. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 26, this is an important statement. Brothers and sons of who? Abraham's what? Family. Realize that we are part of a family. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. And I love you like a brother and sister. I love you the way that I should love you. And I hope that you love me back. You know, sometimes I call girls in high school and ask them out to go out on a date. And I would hope oftentimes that they would say yes. And then I learned that the worst thing they could say was no. And I found out that that wasn't the worst thing they could say. Folks, I want you to understand, we are part of a family. We sing a song that we're part of a family. This is us. We pray for one another. We lift up one another. We help one another along the way. And that's how a family should be. Second, Ephesians chapter 4. Notice this. We are one body. We are one spirit. We are one hope. Because we have one Lord. One faith. We are baptized into one baptism. And we have one God. We don't have many gods. We have one God. And therefore that makes us unified in our purpose, in our goal, in our family. We are unified. Whenever Thanksgiving comes up and you go to be with family, is that a good thing? Sometimes. Sometimes. Because family members can be different. My brother is different. Put him on the short bus to school or something. I don't know what that was. But he is different. My sister and I are pretty much the same. But we have problems when it comes to religion. Because my sister is not a Christian. And I worry about her in that manner. But realize that sometimes when we get together, we're not all unified. Folks, here we are. Because here we have one purpose, and that is to serve God always. Always. Serve Him. He is our purpose. He is our joy. And folks, He is our hope. It is because of him that we have hope of an eternity with him. This is God. This is our family. And we are unified in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7, says, "But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit." For what? The common good. I've told you before that if your car breaks down, don't call me. I can't fix it. But if you do call me, I can find somebody that can. Kathy likes to tell you about my plumbing issues. You know, it's always a good idea to turn the water off before you take the faucet off. I know why y'all are laughing, because you've done it too. Okay? Kathy likes to tell you about my electrical issues. I'm not an electrician either. Because it's always a good idea to turn the breaker off before you change out the ceiling fan. Yep. Now some of you aren't laughing about that one too much. But realize something very important. We are all given a gift from the Spirit. And that gift is used for the purpose of the common good for all people. Many of you in this audience right now today have not determined what your gift is. Many of you. You don't know what your gift is. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this. Each of us have different gifts. One is given wisdom. One is given knowledge. One is given faith. One is given healing at the time that those things were given. All these things are given by the Spirit. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, realize that your gift may not be the same as mine. You may be able to fix a car. I can't. Okay? I can't. But if you need somebody to go with you to talk to them about baptism, call me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Folks, we don't all have the same gifts. But because we have different gifts, every part of the body is needed. Every part is important. All of us have parts. Our body is the example that Paul gives us. That just because you're not all an eye doesn't mean that you're any less of the body. You are needed. I mentioned a minute ago about how much I appreciate you being here and how important it is to me that you are here. If you don't think you do anything, realize this. You encourage me. And if you're encouraging me, I want you to know this as well. You're encouraging other people. When you come and you're here, and Max, I'm going to use you as an example. I love Max. Max struggles oftentimes to get here, but you know what? He's sitting right there. Randy, I'm going to use you as an example. Same thing. Randy struggles a lot of times to get here. But you know what? He's sitting right there. If those people right there don't lift you up and help you along the way, we'll have others in the same situation. Then folks, you're blind. Open your eyes and see what these people are doing. They're coming because they want to encourage you. They're coming because they themselves want to be a part of this family. They want to be part of God's children. All of us have a part. And the fact that all of us have a part, that means that every one of us is important. I told you, we go to this very large congregation, so large they have to have two services in order to fit everybody in. Three people talk to us. Three. Folks, if one of our visitors get out of here and only three people talk to them, I want to know about it. Because every one of us should be striving to talk to them. Every one of us have a part to welcome others into the fold. Every one of us have a part to teach others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And don't think for one second that you are exempt from that. You are not exempt. If you don't think you can do anything at all, guess what you can do? You can meet visitors coming through that door. You can talk to people that you haven't seen before. And don't worry about this, because I've done it. Don't worry about going up to somebody and saying, "I don't think I've seen you before. I'm Steve Breedlove." And they said, "Yeah, I know who you are. We've been coming here for a while." Yes, that's embarrassing, and yes, it's bad. But do you want me to tell you something? It's better to do that than it is to let somebody go through the door without stopping and talking to them. Letting them know. Letting them know how much you appreciate them being here. That's important for all of us to be a part of that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 tells us this, we are all one body. We are all parts of Christ. We are all parts of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if we are all one body, then we work together as one for one purpose. And that is to serve God. This is also one other point that I want to make. If we are one body, if we are unified together, how important is it to be together? How important is it that we come together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever we can? Whenever the doors are open. How important is it to be here? It is incredibly important because if one part of the body is gone, then we all miss something. We all do. I've told you before in laughing that I take Ronald up here. I know where you sit. Randy, I know where you sit. Tim, I know where you sit. I know where you are. Yes, Sue, even you. Sue's giving me a look like, yeah. Folks, I know where you sit. And I mentally check roll. I know when you're not here. I know when you are here. And when you're not here, it saddens me. And when you are here, it gives me rejoice. I rejoice in knowing that you are with us today. Therefore, it's important for all of us to be together, because if one is gone, that part of the body is gone. And like I've told you before, if you think your little toe doesn't mean anything, stump it. Kathy was telling me the story this morning about a lady that works with her that stumped her little toe and broke it. You ever done that? Yeah. Let me tell you something, it hurts. And your whole body goes to it when that toe hurts. That's the way the body should be. That's the way it should be. So therefore, what I have for you today is this message. Learn what you can do to help further the Word of God. Learn what you can do. And I want you to know, Randy said something up here today that you can do. And I don't care if you're physically handicapped. I don't care if you can't do a lot of things. If you can't work on a car and fix it, it doesn't matter. You know what? There's things we can do. One of the things that we can do is call and check on people that aren't here. We have a directory. Phone numbers are in it. If you recognize somebody not here today, pick up the phone and call them. Tell them you missed them. Make sure they're doing okay. You can do that. But I want you to know something else that I would really like to see this congregation start. Notice what I said, start. Two groups. I want a male and a female group of prayer warriors. I need somebody to head that up. If you think you could head that up, that'd be great. Bottom line is just take the list that's on the bulletin and pray for them. Call these people. Talk to them. Prayer warriors. Because folks, if we've got God on our side, then who possibly could be against us? Pray for the congregation. Pray for those who are out in the world, that they may come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Become a prayer warrior. And I would like all of us to take a part in that. Pick out a name. Pray for them. Pick out a time of day. Set your telephone to where it goes off at a certain time of day, and you know when that goes off that you're going to spend the next 5 minutes praying for people. Folks, the power of prayer is indescribable. Become prayer warriors. Become that, so that those people who have been sick, those people who are struggling, those people who are unable to be here, can know that we care for them, that we want them here with us, that we love them, because folks, they are part of our family. That's the challenge I have for you today. You don't have to be with a specific group, but I'll tell you this, just take the bulletin and pray for these people. They need your prayers. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers for you. We want to give you that opportunity to come. To come now, while together we stand.